I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm in the second half of an interview with Aaron O'Sullivan, who is from Systems Culture Impact. If you missed it, then Aaron just did a fantastic presentation on how to go from, sort of trying to do everything yourself to onboarding a VA. I think that the presentation was it's basically how to offload tasks and onboard VAs in 8 weeks. Really, really structured stuff. If you want to check that out or anything else to do with Aaron, amazingfba.com/Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. And we'll have detailed show notes there and links to all the episodes. So, Aaron, I've got quite a lot of questions that came out of that presentation. Obviously, it was very, very thorough and very beautifully structured, which is great. And I really need this. And I'm sure a lot of people that I work with do as well. So, very, very important stuff. I really urge you, if you haven't listened to it yet, there's some detailed slides that go with it as well. So, watch the video if you can. Go to amazingfba.com/Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. Now, first question then, Aaron, is the sort of stupid one, which is when to start outsourcing. Is it something you need to leave until you've hit a certain revenue number or what?
Yeah, no, it's a common question. So I feel, you know, when you're very, if you're just brand new, then you're going to be wearing all the hats, right? But as soon as you start to do things on a repetitive basis, and it depends kind of on your cash flow as well. But let's say, for instance, you're doing, you know, you've done that process of what I just walked you through on the previous episode of kind of downloading, you know, all of the tasks you've done, tracking your time, and you've got this big list of stuff that you're like, oh my God, you know, I'm actually spending an hour trying to order my shopping online. I've got, you know, I'm doing email, I'm checking and responding to Amazon customer service emails, and you're seeing that's taking up a big portion of your time, then I think the earlier you can get started on this, the better. And it doesn't cost much to hire a VA. It's like $10 an hour to get that off of your plate. If you can switch in startup mode, most people, you know, spend 70% of their time on operations and 30% on actually trying to grow the business. It needs to kind of be the other way around, spending that on marketing and sales, ranking your products to page one, you know, creating and launching new products, dialing on all the revenue driving areas of the business. So I don't think that the short answer is, Michael, I don't think there's, you know, you're going to have to get started first, but the sooner you can start removing it, the better, in my opinion. Because the last thing you want to do is, you know, which happened to me, it happened to so many people I speak to, they got, you know, their business is rocking, they're doing like, you know, 100K plus a month, but they're, you know, it looks great from the outside, but, you know, we know how hard they're working for it and they're not sure on how it's going to continue to grow because they're at capacity. So the earlier, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm just making some detailed notes so that there's a lot of value here that I want to capture. And I think the most important thing is what you've just said, really. About startups, people see it as 70% operations. Oh, I think it's more than that. The people go into Amazon, I think, often on the basis of a rather missold pitch, really, which is, it's an easy and quick replacement for your day job income. And I think that's the more I work with people and the more I run businesses myself to whatever extent I'm able to. And I feel, you know, that the longer I do it, the more humbled I get by it. I think there's so much that needs to be better, but I don't think that's the right approach. And I think if you focus your energy on growing an asset, which you one day can either sell or live off, then I think, you know, it makes sense to do exactly what you said, which is put 80% of your money almost as well into creating a system rather than just running it. And otherwise, you just got a rather miserable job on your hands, in my experience. I couldn't agree with you more. And thank you for putting a number on it as well. I like numbers, 70-30. I think that's a good ratio. So another question then, which comes back to what you were just saying. I'm doing online shopping. I'm checking emails. Does it have to be Amazon stuff that you outsource first? Or would you say that it's actually valid to outsource other stuff, even if you've never done that before, to make the space to even grow a business?
Absolutely. This is what it's important. I think I mentioned it in the last episode, but when you download all the tasks you've done, when you track your time for 5 days, when you compile that long list of things that you've been doing and you've got data on, then this is not just professional, this is personal stuff as well. So you know, all the things in your life which doesn't really serve you, things that you don't like to do, could be laundry, cleaning your house, ordering your shopping online, could be your personal email, you know, whatever, you know, menial tasks you do at home that you don't actually like to do, you can just get rid of it. You know, you can do it, you know, and it's going to ultimately allow you to, you know, work on actually revenue driving areas of the business. You know, cash flow and revenue and profit is most important, you know, throughout the whole business life, but in startup, it's, you know, it's critical. So you're not, you know, the more you spend time on things that don't matter, ultimately, you know, the less time you're going to have growing your, you know, the revenues and profits of your business. And, you know, if it's, if you're looking to replace your income, then, you know, it needs to be front and center. That's where you need to spend the majority of your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I can't help a smile coming over my face when you were saying, it's so strange how, or just me asking somebody who's an expert in outsourcing, is it okay to outsource non-Amazon stuff? As soon as you said yes, I'm like, I've got permission from an expert. And I'm like, I'm smiling naturally, like, yes, I could get rid of all the crap I don't want to do. When I'm looking around the room here that I'm broadcasting from, and frankly, you know, I could just do with hiring somebody to come and clean it up. But that's the sort of thing that I'm going to give myself permission to do. So thank you for permission to clean my life up. I think that's a very, very important.
Nobody needs anyone's permission. So we can, you can go in and out. You can, there's so many, you know, solutions to everybody's problems these days with apps, with services, that you can get somebody to take care of things for you. And they probably love to do it, and they do a much better job than you ever.
So, I agree with that. I mean, there's one of the things that when I outsource stuff, for example, I outsource creating the show notes these days and doing the podcast editing and stuff. Now, you know, I'm a fussy guy with grammar and English and whatever. I'm one of those non-typical entrepreneurs that was a straight A student at school. Sorry about that, everyone. I know you hate them. But that was me. But nevertheless, some aspects of the grammar come out, like 80% what I would have done. I'm like, it's good enough. And it's freed me up to do things that are more valuable, like interviewing another great guest like yourself. And the other thing, though, is that sometimes when you outsource stuff, people just take more care of it because they own it in a way that if you've got 50 tasks on your list, you just can't own. You just think, oh, that'll have to be good enough. Whereas somebody whose professional value is being assessed on the basis of, for example, the quality of the editing of the podcast, is just going to take that much more care than I ever would. So it's one of the nice experiences, I think, is that it's nice to discover that actually most people can do most stuff better than me, because that means that I was never really going to be my best friend in the first place, in, you see what I mean?
Totally, man. So I think it's really, really important to understand, you know, do you want it to get done, or do you want it to be, you know, the best? Most people don't want to hold it, you know, want to relinquish control of something because, you know, it's ultimately, they think it's not going to be as good quality or whatever. But this is like, if you get it 70 or 80% good, then that's fine. You know, that means you can go on to do, and it can be improved over time, but, you know, it's going to be liberating for people. So if you know, just quick math, I mentioned it previously, but I think it's really important distinction to make. You know, if you're working on, say you've got a $10 an hour task and you're working on, you know, for instance, you know, you're doing customer service, you're doing answering your personal emails or your, you know, emails which doesn't need you to answer, you're ordering your shopping online or you're, you know, whatever it is, you can outsource these things for, say, $10 an hour. Let's say you're spending just, you know, 10 hours a week on that. So, you know, this example, that's $100 worth of value that you're literally bringing to your life and your business, you know, in that given week. So that's in the month, and that's $400 worth of value. You know, 4 times 100, $400. Instead of working 10 hours on a $10 an hour task, once you've removed that and you spend 10 hours working on a $1,000 an hour task, for instance, creating a new product that you can launch to go and generate 20 grand a month or 10 grand a month or whatever it is, or dialing in your sponsored ads or your PPC or learning a new marketing strategy, and you spend that time 10 hours a week, then that's $10,000 worth of value per week versus 100. So, of course, this is not an exact science, but you can see what happens over time. This compounds. The more you spend on high-value areas of the business, marketing, sales, you know, how to grow your business, you actually become better at that. So your hourly rate on them tasks will actually increase. No, it's not going to stay at $1,000. You know, you'll get better at the more you do it. Whereas if you if you're stuck doing customer service, there's only a certain level that you can get good at customer service. If you think about it, you know, as you become grow more and you learn more in this business that you're in, you're able to, that hourly rate compounds and it grows. You bring in, you know, 10 grand a week value or 40 grand a month that you might not realize immediately. It might take a few months to see that, but you can see quickly what happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the old outsourcing low-value tasks to add high-value tasking. Another quick question that comes to mind then, just following through what you were saying in your presentation, why the Philippines? Because that's always an interesting question to me. It seems that everyone is obsessed with outsourcing to the Philippines, partly because it was an American colony. I believe America's one and only colony, if you don't count Hawaii, which obviously is an integral part of the United States these days. But is that valid for Brits? Does it have to be the Philippines? And if so, what's good about the Philippines? Yeah.
I don't think it has to be. The reason the Philippines is, to be honest, I started going there in 2014, and I've got a kind of a deep connection with that country. I've met some amazing humans there. I've got kind of a strong network there. So that's what, you know, kind of got me started there. And, you know, the Philippines is really great for outsourcing because the people are generally really loyal, hardworking. They speak usually great English, American English, and a large portion of the world's business processing outsourcing, I think it's like a 140 billion industry. Don't quote me on that. It might be 14 billion, but I know it's it's the biggest place in the world to outsource to. For me, at least, it was because of the results that I had from meeting and working closely with Filipinos, you know, in person and remotely, that, you know, I think it's a great place to outsource to. And there's a number of services out there which, you know, source, you know, amazing talent from the Philippines. And
sorry, you mentioned a few of the services that will help you source talent there. Could you just go over those again just briefly and just mention, are there particular services that are good for particular types of tasks or a particular level, like beginner, more advanced, etc.?
So yeah, I think it depends really on, you know, whether you want on demand or, you know, full time. So there's a number of services which you can pay kind of as you play, depends on your need. And there's one called FreeUp. So Nathan's a great dude. Check out freeup.com with three E's. There's Upwork, which is, you know, probably, you know, a more maybe well-known one in, you know, the general, you know, outsourcing space. And, you know, you can find, you know, ad hoc kind of on-demand contractors in these places as well. You've got Priority VA, which is more of a high level for, you know, this is, you know, US, Canada-based project managers. And you have, I mentioned on the previous session, we've got Team Ninja, which is a pre-screened group of talent that we've coached on mindset, skill, and systems.
So was that Project Ninja, was that?
It's called Team Ninja. So Team Ninja. Thank you. Yeah. So this is me and my friend. He owns the largest transformational coaching company in the Philippines, and he trains. You know, it's a wealth coaching company, and it's a mindset. He's kind of like the Filipino Tony Robbins in a way. He, just being in his presence, you know, I feel lifted. And we take our team to him to be, you know, to have a mindset day, you know. So basically, we got together. We created a pool of talent to help our clients to get stuff off of their plate. And that's what that is. It's not really open to the general public as of yet. But like I said before, I'm happy for, if anyone's stuck and not sure where to look, then you can just reach out to me and I can point you in the right direction based on your specific needs.
Okay, great. So you've got a particular place. Well, yeah, I don't think that people who are looking for a more advanced version of it might do that. So coming to my next question, really, and I know we haven't got very much time because we've both got to dash off to client calls and take care of business. Next question is a bit hard to answer. So, well, let's try and do the simple version of this. How do you, my experience of outsourcing, and above all those people that I work with, say in the 10K Collective, which is a mastermind I have, where people have turnovers anywhere from about 25 to 250K a month in dollar equivalent, sometimes more. Their experience reflects mine, which is that it's very variable, including some places which are, you know, you would have thought that everyone's pre-vetted and really gone through a lot of hoops. Still, there's a lot of variability in how good people are, even sometimes something as simple as customer service, let alone something as complex and as nuanced as copywriting. So what's your best take on how do you find the A players and how do you get rid of the people who aren't going to work? And I guess what goes with that? Is it really the problem is with the people, or is it the way we handle them? And that's a big question.
That's a loaded question. there's several questions inside of that. And the question was about the variability of...
Basically, how do we reduce the variability so we only get good players is basically the end question. And I'm sure that implies other things.
Yeah, high level. So I would say initially it's about positioning. You know, the A players are probably they're mostly hired anyway. So if you do attract somebody who is a great team member, your company needs to stand out from the 1,000 other Amazon companies that are just looking for, you know, and I believe this is from the get-go, even if it's just a, you know, customer service staff that you're looking to bring on. I want to bring on the most, you know, amazing human beings that I can find that are relevant to our company culture and our vision. So I think it's about positioning up front is how can you stand different to the rest? That's part of it. The second thing is, okay, where can you fish? Where can you fish in the right ponds to find the fish that you're looking for? Because I think a huge part of it is that. First and foremost, positioning. Second, where are you looking? Now, if you're looking to catch, for instance, a certain type of fish, but you're fishing in a pond where there's none of them or there's one of them, then you're going to have a hard time doing that. So first and foremost, about positioning, how you can make your company stand out and, you know, make it challenging, exciting, but, you know, something which is going to attract people that are going to resonate with your vision and your purpose. What else I would say was, once you've now found the right pool or pond to fish in, it's about having a kind of very structured hiring process so you can disqualify the B's and C players from the A players. And there's a great book called Top Grading. It's quite extensive, to be honest, but the concepts from top grading, that's what we help our clients with. But basically, it's about disqualifying people. A little tip I got from a guy called Ari Mizell, and basically he's like, don't give them something new to create. You know, when you're in the hiring process, don't give them, okay, go and write this new article. Tell them to fix an article. Tell them to fix a problem that you've currently got, because anyone can go and spend 5-10 hours perfecting a perfect article. But if you tell someone this is an article, it's got a load of mistakes in it, fix them, you're going to be able to get clarity much quicker on who is really, you know, the person you're looking for. Just an example. So once you've got that person, you've gone through the hiring process, you've filtered them, you've disqualified, and, you know, you go through that whole hiring process. Next is about onboarding them, like we just covered in the session previous. You know, there's a lot of pieces to it, and this is why people don't start to do this and remove stuff off their plate, is because there's so many things that you need to do in terms of making this happen. You know, a lot of the time it's kind of daunting to people. So figuring out what you need to outsource first, positioning your company in a way which stands out, then finding the right pool to fish from, and, you know, take applications, go through the hiring process, and then hire them and onboard them is, you know, a lot of time daunting for people. So that's usually the kind of process which I would recommend. I hope that made sense. Just want to check in.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it's very important, again, just to reiterate, if anyone's listening to this episode without listening to the previous one, that's definitely a mistake. So Aaron's done, just to clarify, an interview with me in August 2017, which we talked about, you know, same topic, basically outsourcing, but from a different perspective. This time, you'll find those all along with this interview at amazingfba.com/Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. For November, and that is also going to be a place to find this episode and the detailed notes, which I think can be very important to get your head around a complex topic like outsourcing, to see it in a written form as well as just hear it. And the other thing is that there you'll find the previous episode where Aaron did a presentation, which gave things in a very, very structured way. So I think, Aaron, I think the best response to my question is probably, go listen to Aaron's presentation, watch the video, read the notes, and then take some detailed notes of your own from listening, because I think you did give us a very clear structure there. Yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap things up, because I just feel like I've got about 10 hours of questions for you, but actually reality is that we've both got things to do, and also we want to make sure that people's brains aren't blown. Have you got any final sort of parting words of wisdom, Aaron, for anybody?
I would say get started early. If you're just getting rolling, you know, get things off of your plate. you know, ASAP. If you're at a point where you're, you know, doing 75K, 100K a month, and you're basically, you know, you've got so much on your plate right now, you know, what we do is we help people remove this stuff off their plate and, you know, give them kind of a filing cabinet and SOPs and keep them updated. And if this is you, you know, reach out and, you know, we don't have any spaces available, but we've got an alert list if you need extra help to get stuff off your plate quick. If not, then, you know, go through the things that Michael just talked about, you know, hire somebody, onboard them and start to remove a lot of the tasks off your plate, which keep you from really growing your business.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of great stuff. It gets started, isn't it? And I really wish I got started with outsourcing earlier. I've done it very piecemeal myself, and I've been around for long enough to know that I should know better. So thank you so much for re-inspiring me, and extremely grateful for that very, very clear process that you have. Talk about SOPs and clear processes. Hats off to you for creating that. It's very, very nice and clear. I'm going to be personally going through that myself because I desperately need to outsource stuff. Like many people that I know. So your message is very, very needed and extremely clear and structured. So Aaron, thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks everybody for listening. Take care.
Cheers. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.